Okay, here with me is Peter Krucker. You're quite a well-known guy within the open science scene, I think. You just hosted a session on your baby, basically. Yours and others, of course, which is the Open Knowledge Maps. Could you shortly introduce them?
Yeah, sure. So Open Knowledge Maps is a visual interface to the world's scientific knowledge, and we want to provide a different way of searching for literature, of getting an overview of a field, of separating the papers that interest you from the papers that don't interest you. And we want to do all of this in true open science ways. So we try to highlight open content, and everything that we develop is open source, and we're very open community.
Why is it you think that nobody has ever touched visual navigation through the world of research and research papers and all these research strands which are out there? Because they're certainly on different sides of the world. Basically, people always look into similar things. Why is it that you came up with a visual idea and not anybody else before you?
Well, I mean, the research for a visual interface has been around since the 1970s, basically. And there are many specialist tools where you can input loads of data and they will create a visualization. But all of them are really geared towards experts. So you have to learn the tool. You have to use most of the time proprietary data, which is not open. And so it's only available to a very small number of people. And basically, our idea was to bring this to everyone. To scientists, to practitioners, to citizens, so that we can all discover research in a much more efficient way.
The underlying idea is discovery, right? Or is there any kind of analysis built in?
So, what do you mean by analysis?
Whether you can kind of get some statistics on how much research of a certain field is done in a certain area or something like that?
I mean, from the map that we're creating, you can say some characteristics of a field. So the simplest measure probably is whether you get enough results so that we can even build a map. But apart from that, usually the terms that spring up and the clusters that it gives you really signifies how the field is structured and what are the important concepts that are in this field. Because that's one of the most important things that I found about discovery, is that you need to learn the concepts in the field, the language in the field. So right. That's what we're also trying to help people with. Mm.
So the connection in between researchers and researchers and research fields is done through reference or through wording tags? Or what's the technical core that you're using?
So basically, we're using the article metadata, and we're looking for text similarity between the articles. And that's what we're basing our algorithms on, which are clustering and ordination. And then we also use a labeling procedure to create sort of the names for the sub-areas.
Okay. What was your impression from the session you just held? What's the feedback that you get?
Yeah, so today we presented our newest extension, which includes the Bielefeld Academic Search Engine. So basically with the click of a button, we jumped from 28 million papers coverage to over 100 million papers coverage. And today we unveiled this in the session. And of course, there are still some bumps along the way. We still haven't figured it out all out. But the feedback was in some sense very generous from the people. And they also gave us a lot of ideas on how to improve the system.
Well, we from the Open Science Radio hope to have you or any of your colleagues at a guest once to have a precise show on this, because it's more than interesting, and I think it's one of the highlights last year to actually have a platform that that puts into focus the navigation through research apart from catalogs or something like this. So. This is an invitation for you, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very, very happy to talk and to come on your show again.
Great. Now you have it heard.